And who's in me? Jesus. He lives in you too. You know him today as your Savior. He's greater than anything that you can even imagine. Well, today we're beginning a new series of messages that I am calling, it's kind of a weird way I'm putting it, but I'm calling it fruitable. That's fruitable. And you're going to figure out what that means here in the next little while, but basically we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit during the summer season, during these weeks. Hopefully it's not going to be as hot as this every Sunday, but let's read this together. This is a great passage of Scripture. Would you stand, please, as we read God's Word? Sorry, I should have asked you to remain standing. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Heavenly Father, I pray today that the Word of God would find lodging in each one of our hearts. And the ultimate result will be that we would bear fruit for your eternal glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. That's right, we're calling it fruitable. That's fruitable. We'll be looking at basically the fruit of the Spirit as listed here in Galatians chapter 5. Verses 22 and 23 especially. You're no doubt familiar with this list. If you've been around church long enough, or if you've been to Sunday school, or if you have memorized Scripture, or have been familiar with the fruit of the Spirit, then this list here is something all of us need to pay attention to. By the series end, I'm hoping that we will be able to recite all of these fruit of the Spirit. Be able to do it in our sleep. Be able to do it when we are at work or at play or wherever we might be. That the fruit of the Spirit would invade our hearts and our actions and our witness and our testimony for Christ in our community and with our families as well. You will be able to understand them, hopefully, in a new way. More importantly, by the series end, I think you will have a handle on seeing each aspect of the Spirit's fruit come alive in your life. And that's what the objective is, that the fruit of the Spirit will come alive in our lives, and we will know when we're bearing fruit and when we're not bearing fruit. During the course of this series, we'll hold up these 9 qualities as a model, if you would, for spiritual maturity. A lot of people ask, well, what do you mean by spiritual maturity? How does one mature spiritually? Well, I really believe that the fruit of the Spirit gives us the very basic structure in which to build maturity. There are some Christians that have been Christians a long time, but they've never grown up. They've never matured. There are some Christians who have been Christians for a short time, and they have matured. And you see the fruit just being multiplied in their lives. That's an exciting thing. Now, as usual, when I talk about these things, I'm also preaching to myself as well. I'm asking God to show me how I can be more fruitful for the kingdom of God and how I can live a fruit-based Christian walk in life. I do want to make it clear that this does not diminish the importance of having an accurate understanding of theology and sound doctrine. We did a series, we just finished on the Believe study. And we were able to present certain biblical truth, and we were challenged in the whole idea of to be able to think the way Jesus would want us to think, and to think biblically. I believe there is a void in our evangelical circles today of thinking biblically. And if you don't think biblically, guess what? It's lived out. And it comes to bear in your walk, and people are able to see it. So there is this whole idea of knowing biblical truth, being able to understand it, giving a reason for the hope that is in you, but also to be able to bear fruit. Not false fruit. And we'll talk about what's true fruit and what's false fruit. What's good fruit, what's bad fruit. Well, I don't know if there's such a thing as bad fruit. Well, there might be. We're going to look at it all. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, read it with me, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't know about you, but I know I need all of those qualities, those character qualities in my life. I need to be able to grow in these areas. I'll let you know that I fall flat on my face and the same as anyone else. When it comes, I'm looking forward to the message on patience because there's going to be a lot of conviction in my life about patience because I lack patience. But we'll get there. Love, joy, peace. Next Sunday we're going to talk about love, which is everybody's favorite subject. But yet, we'll look at each one of these tasks over the next 9 weeks. I hate to say it, but when we're done, we'll be dealing with maybe the signs of fall. So hopefully that doesn't come too soon. I want to split a grammatical here, though, in the beginning. Just a matter of clarification, if I could. We often refer to the fruits of the Spirit, don't we? We think of the fruits of the Spirit as if there are 9 of them. But I want you to listen to this. Because the Apostle Paul here actually refers to the fruit, singular. It's not plural, it's singular. And all 9 of these, what Paul is trying to drive home is that all 9 of them go together and they build on one another. The first one is love. Paul says, without love, you're nothing. You're a clanging cymbal. If I have the whole world, if I have everything and have not love, I am what? Nothing. Nothing. So he builds on that one. So they come together in a unit. All 9 of them go together. So I will apologize in advance if I use the word fruits. I really mean fruit of the Spirit. These 9 qualities make up the fruit of the Spirit. Why is that significant? Because, as I said, they're that unit. It's not a buffet. You know, Paul does not want us to think that we can pick and choose. Oh, I like patience, so I'll pick on that one. Or I like long-suffering. I like self-control, so I'll pick on that one. It's not a buffet-type thing that God wants us to think about. He wants us to think about it in terms of a unit that we are, all of these things are intertwined. All of them are intermingled. All of them come together in a package deal to build character so that the Spirit of God can work and flow through us in a meaningful and powerful way. Now, I'm just going to share you a little illustration and give you 3 points, and then we're going to call her a day. But I want you to know that when I was a kid growing up, we had an apple tree in our backyard. It was an apple tree that my mother, many, many times, she had headed out the door, the back door, to go cut that apple tree down herself because she hated the thing. It was an apple tree that at night, I'm sure the deer would come and have a nice feed. It was an apple tree that nobody would want to eat the apples, because if you did, you'd make all kinds of funny-looking faces. It would not be a good experience. My dad used to tell us, boys, and I grew up with three younger brothers, if you eat those apples on that tree in the back of the house, guess what? You're going to get real sick, and you're going to have a bellyache, and it's not going to be very pleasant. So, you know, this was an apple tree nonetheless. You know, it didn't grow much. We didn't promote the growth of that tree. The only water that tree got was the rain. There was never any nurture, never any pruning, never any work done to the soil to make it a bigger apple tree or to see if there was any way you could get a better tasting apple from the tree. They were what you might call cull apples or feral apples. And sometimes you may find examples of fruit flourishing in the wind, but in the wild, but not this particular tree, because the potential was there, but it never developed. When I was in college, I spent a couple of weeks in an apple orchard working in the Annapolis Valley of Nova Scotia, which is famous for its beautiful Macintosh apples. You know, those are beautiful apples that just make you hungry looking at them or thinking about them. And I learned a little bit about the process of harvesting apples. There's quite a bit of work involved when it comes to harvesting apples. There's a few apple orchards around where I live down in southern Maine. And these farmers spend thousands of dollars, maybe even some of them more than that, into the hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep their apple orchards going and growing. And so they do a lot of work. They need lots of water. They need to be pruned. The tree needs to be healthy. The clusters need to be thinned, and on and on. And as I was thinking of that, I was thinking of how that relates to us in our Christian lives as well. It's the same way with the fruit of the Spirit. You see, these qualities, these nine fruits, or fruit, if I can say so, exist in your spiritual DNA, so to speak. They do. Because you are a new creation in Christ, and the Holy Spirit is living within you, so the potential is there for you to be a very fruitable Christian. And a Christian living, knowing that they're going to bear fruit. And it's going to be fruit, as Jesus said, that will last and make a difference for the kingdom of heaven. So the potential is there, but it needs to be developed. It needs to be nurtured. It needs to be cultivated. And that's kind of what I see before me here this morning. I see many of you where there is tremendous potential. You know, Jesus took 12 disciples and he turned the world upside down, didn't he, with just 12 people. You know, we are a church, small church, 30 people or so. And to think of the potential that each of us have, that God has for us, is really amazing. I believe in my heart that God wants us to look at our potential, to see what's there, to develop our potential, to nurture it, to cultivate it. Now, I remember when I was a lad, my dad had Clydesdale horses. And he would be out and he would be cultivating the potatoes in the garden every year. You know, we used to say, boys, just let the garden grow. Come on. But he was there with his big horses, these Clydesdale horses with the huge feet on them. They would be trampling on our toes. And I remember many, many evenings where I would lead the Clydesdale horses through the rows and rows of potatoes and gardens and things that we had, and we'd have to cultivate them. Every second day we were doing it, and he was a stickler when it came down to it. I think of that in our Christian walk as well, that God wants to cultivate it, to cultivate those things that we have that are gifts that he has given us so that we might be fruitful in the kingdom. The issue is, many of us get a little lazy. Many of us sort of let it go by the wayside, and we're not very intentional when it comes to cultivating what God has given us and the gifts he has empowered us with. And because of that, God is saying, you're going to have to either use it or lose it. And I don't believe God I believe God wants us to use it. The gifts, the abilities, the talents, whatever we have, God wants us to use it for the furtherance of his kingdom. And so, just a couple things for us to remember this morning and how we're to do that. There are three things we need to do on a daily basis in order to cultivate the Spirit's fruit. These are powerful, these are life-changing, and I want you to take note of what I'm about to say. The first thing is this, that we need to prepare our hearts. God says, prepare your heart. If there's going to be a harvest, if there's going to be something exciting that will take place in your life to the glory of God, then there needs to be some preparation. And it begins with prayer. Begins with prayer. You see, this is a spiritual exercise. It's not something you run down to the doctor and you get a prescription for. It's nothing like that. It is a spiritual exercise that sometimes can be difficult, that sometimes can be painful, that sometimes can be a little bit uncomfortable. We need to ask God to make these qualities come alive in our lives. John Stott was one of my favorite writers, and he wasn't a Baptist. He was an Anglican priest. He died about a year ago, and he was a pastor of an Anglican church in London, England, one of the greatest theologians. He went home to be with the Lord at the age of 90. He spent most of his ministry in just one church. He served over 65 years pastoring one church. Can you imagine? He wrote a number of books, and he preached all over the world, and he had a tremendous influence in the lives of many. In 2005, Time magazine named John Stott one of the most 100 of the most influential people in the world. And for many years, he began each day with the same prayer. This is the prayer that John Stott used. And I pray that it might be your prayer. And I'm going to have it printed in the bulletin. I don't know if you have it for up here on the screen, but I'll have it a little later on for you as well. You'll see it at the end. But it's this prayer. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. John Stott prayed every single day that that fruit would ripen in his life. This was his daily prayer. It's quite a challenging list. And the fact is, we'll never get there without God's help. We'll never get there without divine intervention. God wants us to begin in prayer, to humble ourselves before him, to pray that he would fill me with himself. You see, there's too much of ourselves that get in the way of what God wants to do. He wants to fill us with Himself in this powerful way. We also need to prepare our hearts by spending time in His Word. And I've mentioned this to you many, many times in the past, of how important it is to be in the Scriptures, how important it is to be in the Word of God every day. I read a survey when I was in Scotland that only 22% of professing Christians open their Bible every day. And that's kind of a tragedy. It really is. It's sad when we don't spend time in God's Word. How are we going to know God's speaking to us? How are we going to know what His will is for our lives if we don't spend time in His love letter? This is His love letter to us. And this is what He wants us to do. So we need to prepare our hearts by spending time in His Word. The second thing we're to do, not just to prepare our hearts, but secondly, we are to prune away every obstacle. So prepare. Number two, prune. Now, I'm sure that old apple tree that was behind our house, there might have been some potential if we had invested some time in it. But eventually it did come down. My mother finally had her way with that tree, and it came down. Years ago, we lived in a parsonage that had a rose bush out front. It's a beautiful bush. And I noticed it when we moved in, and it was quite full. We were living in St. Andrews, New Brunswick. There were lots of leaves, but very few roses in the beginning. And one day, even before all the boxes were unpacked, a lady from the church came along and asked, "Do you mind if I can give your rose bush a little makeover?" Well, she made it over all right. I said, "Go ahead." She took out the shears, and this was the reason for her visit. And she started snipping away. Snip, snip, snip. All over the place. And when she was done, that rose bush looked almost like a stick in the ground that was sticking out. And I asked, "Well, what'd you do with the rose bush?" "Ah," she says, "you ain't seen nothing yet. Because next year, that rose bush is going to be the most beautiful bush on this block, in this town." Sometimes there has to be some pruning done in our lives if we are to be fruitful. Sometimes you have to take the old dead stuff and just get rid of it. Knock it out of the way. Put it out of its misery. Sometimes you have to do that. There are some things in our lives that we need sometimes to take care of and maybe get rid of as well. A friend of mine recently decided to disable his Facebook account. Now, some of you are saying, "Well, you're getting a little personal here." He said it was consuming too much of my time. It was taking me away from my family. It was taking me away from my job. And it seemed as though every time I turned around, every time, you know, I took a break or whatever, I was thumbing through my Facebook account on my smartphone. And things were not getting done. So he canceled it. And if I'm if canceling social media account is unthinkable to you, maybe that's a signal that you need to think about it. One of my relatives that lives down, or my in-laws that live down in southern Maine, she deleted Facebook from her phone but kept it on her computer. And that's one way she's dealing with it. Some of these things can be real sidelines. Some of these things can be distractions. Some of these things can get us going in the wrong way. And let me tell you, I have seen people become enemies of one another because of disagreements they have, and they're conveying their ideas through Facebook. And it didn't turn out pretty. It's unfortunate. And you know, That's why I am reluctant to talk about politics any longer. Because most of these conversations have been political in tone. Many of these conversations, you know, conservative versus liberal. I happen to be a conservative, and I have some strong conservative opinions. But yet, I believe that I need respect for anybody and every opinion. So, there can be some distractions here. I don't want to discuss politics anymore because the topic tends to bring out the worst in me. And I can get very upset even thinking about some politics that's going on right now. No matter what side of the issue you might be on. So, that's why the writer of Hebrews says that we're to lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and we're to run with endurance. Sometimes there needs to be some pruning done. And maybe there might be some pruning in your life that we're going to look at in the weeks to come. Final thing, real quick, we need to practice. So, we prepare, we prune, we practice. So, how can I have the fruit of the Spirit living in my life? You practice it. How do you have patience? You practice patience. How do you have more love? You practice it. How do you have more joy? You practice it. I'm not talking about any kind of faith, fake joy or fake patience or anything like that, but what's sincere and what's from the heart. You practice it. We need to practice these things. You know, with my little tin flute, I've been practicing it. I'm hoping to get a little better than what I am now. And for anybody who is practicing the piano, my little 7-year-old granddaughter is learning how to play the piano. And, how should I be kind? She's making lots of beautiful noises. But someday I have the great hope and expectation that she's going to be an accomplished piano player. I really believe that. You practice. If you want to be a good baseball player, you practice. You want to play golf, you got to practice it. I was in St. Andrews Golf Course in St. Andrews, Scotland, just a couple of weeks ago. A very famous golf course, and I saw some of these golfers out there. I could never figure out why anybody would want to get out and chase a ball around the field. But yet, that's their thing. Sorry, Steve. But yet, that's the thing. You learn something, you practice it. You go on and on. You keep it at it. You work hard at it. And this fruit of the Spirit, we need to be practicing the fruit of the Spirit. And we need to hold one another accountable. We need to do that. We need to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, this is our prayer again, as I conclude. The prayer that was given to us by this great spiritual giant. And you can put that up on the board. And I hope that you will pray this prayer. Can we read it together? Can you see it? Let's pray it right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would indeed do just that, and that you would fill us with your Spirit. And as we learn to be more fruitable, Heavenly Father, that fruit would be seen, would be realized, and it would bring great dividends to the kingdom of heaven. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.